Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence, live from the most beautiful city in the country, Houston, Texas. And it's just great having you with us for our final show for year 2020. This will be the last one. We have just had, honestly, an unbelievable list of perfect guests. This was great information and professionalism and wisdom. And it was just last week's Miranda Beard, the past president of the National School Board Association. I appreciate all the emails and texts that I got from that. And she was just a wonderful guest. And I promise you tonight, you are going to be blessed abundantly with a second visit for Dr. Martin to be here tonight. And we're looking forward to this. This will be the first time we actually get to see her on video. I believe last time we were still in the radio only mode. So it'll be exciting to get to see her and see what everything's doing in Arizona. We want to just let you know that 2021 is going to be an awesome year. We start off the year with a bang with some wonderful guests. So make sure you just let your friends know. Just come online 8 p.m. Central Time every Sunday night, and we will be live. So just looking forward to that. Tonight we have Dr. C.F. Martin, and Dr. Martin is a clinical psychologist from the great state of Arizona. I love Arizona, beautiful weather out there. And she specializes in the treatment of anxiety, well, of everything that everybody's experiencing right now. Anxiety, panic attacks, grief, depression with adults. And this is going to be a wonderful program. And we're going to drill really deep tonight because I know there's a lot of people that's listening that need to have a tool or two in their tool belt to be able to return to and reach for when this world becomes normal again, if it does in the normalcy that we are used to seeing it. This is her second book that she's written, and I read it twice, and I want to show you the cover of it. It's just great. Called Get Real. I don't know if the lights are too, but Get Real by Dr. C.F. Martin, and my light is too bright. But it's a wonderful book. I got it on Kindle and read it a couple times, and it was just great. She works in a hospital setting, but also in her own private practice. She's married, has two little children, and I hope she had a wonderful Christmas with the family and loves to spend as much time with her family as she possibly can. So welcome to Houston, Texas, all the way from Arizona, Dr. C.F. Martin. Dr. Martin, can you hear me tonight?
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much for having me on your show tonight.
This is great. I believe, Dr. Martin, we met, was that in San Diego?
Newport.
Newport. Okay, so right outside Los Angeles.
Yes, yes.
We were at
a trauma conference. Yeah.
Trauma conference, okay. And I had just finished a workshop, and I was running to catch an Uber to get into the airport, and we ran into each other in the parking lot waiting for a ride.
Exactly. I was sitting in the audience listening to your lecture, and then we ended up just, you know, waiting for our Ubers to show up, and I was like, I need to talk to him. Don't be shy. Just go ahead and, like, say something, and I'm so glad I did.
Yeah, this has been a great relationship and a great friendship, and I appreciate your first book and now the second one. And I just want to dive in. First of all, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas with your family. Everybody's safe.
Yes, and I hope you as well.
I did. It was just right here in my home. And
in the most beautiful city in the world.
That's right. That's right. Arizona's okay, too. It's nice.
Especially this time of year.
I bet. Tell me what precipitated an idea of this book. And then I have some, I have your talking points, but I have some of my own personal questions after reading it a couple times of how I can relate to it. And what caused you to write this book, and why now?
Yeah, well, you know, the timing is actually just kind of, you know, amazing in the sense that I've been working on this book for probably about 4 years, like actually, you know, sitting in front of my computer when I can. And then, you know, 2020 happened and anxiety is just kind of through the roof, at least in my private practice. A lot of anxious people out there. And one thing that kind of precipitated this, though, happened several years ago. I was, long and the short of it, I was on one of those crazy adventurous trips. And I found myself in this place called Cappadocia, Turkey.
Oh.
And it's kind of in like central Turkey. And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong there, but I believe it's about central Turkey. And Cappadocia is this place where ancient people basically were able to carve out dwellings into the caves. It's quite an amazing place. And one of the tourist attractions, if you go there, is hot air balloon rides. Okay. And we actually met a couple of friends that we're still friends with today. And everyone's like, let's go on the hot air balloon ride, like see everything. And I'm like, no, nope, not doing it. Like, this is how Catherine dies. There's no way I'm getting on this hot air balloon. It's going to flip around and I'm going to go tumbling to the ground. And that's just going to be the end of me. And that's just it. And one of our friends, who's this very rational person, he's an engineer. He just looks at me. He's like, none of what you just said is possible. And he then explains to me the physics of the hot air balloon and, you know, all that, you know, the flipping around is just impossible. And so they go and I sit back and I in the safety of a chair connected to the earth, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about the scientific perspective of it. And I'm like, is a lie keeping me from enjoying life? Am I trapping myself from experiencing more things and being with my friends because of a lie that I believed in? And so that happened. And I was like, all right, I don't want lies to determine what I can and cannot do. And so that was kind of like the seed that started this all. And then somewhere along the line, I found out through like personality studies that medical doctors tend to have the lowest reported rates of anxiety. And I thought that was interesting too, because I was like, is it because they actually know versus laymen like myself don't know what the trajectory or, you know, the prognosis is of some things. And my fantasies then are allowed to kind of dictate how I feel and how anxious I am about something. And so those kind of became like the two seeds of this idea of like, I just need to get real with myself, Catherine. And so it kind of started out as just kind of a phrase, like, Catherine, get real. Just like my friend said, like, none of that is true. And it's stopping you from really enjoying like a full life. And so I was like, okay, I just have to get real. I just have to get real with that. And then as I talk about in the book, it actually turns into this great kind of acronym to help us remember at least a method of how can we get real with ourselves and try to find the truth behind an idea and kind of try to get rid of any of the fantasies that are maybe playing into the beliefs that are making the anxieties stronger.
Doctor, what kind of lies are people telling themselves to keep? I mean, yours was a hot air balloon. I've been up in a hot air balloon. I love it. Well, what kind of lies are normal people out there telling themselves as examples? Because you do a lot of them in your book. What's just some so we can have some digging here?
You're an idiot. Why didn't you know that? You're not good enough. They're never going to accept you. Nobody likes you. Stuff like that. You're somehow too ignorant, not acceptable in some way. You're never going to do it. You're never going to make it. All of this, and I talk about this in my book, there's a ton of just this personal negative propaganda that just feeds in to our belief system that's based on lies and fears and fantasies that, you know, are really just kind of crippling ourselves.
Are these lies that people have told us and we bought into? Are these lies that come from inside of us because of our own experiences, our own poor self-image views? Or is it a little combination of everything?
I would say it's a combination of everything, you know, especially with your specialty with, you know, child abuse, you know, the repetition of you're not good enough, you're not worthy of love, or whatever the horrible messages that are being sent to. If it's, you know, repeated to us over and over again, that becomes the main message that we hear. And it's based on repetition, but not truth. And it doesn't mean it's easy to get rid of, though.
I can be in front of 5,000 people and do a presentation. 4,999 stand and applaud. One will say something somewhat negative on the way out the door. And I forget the 4,999 and I focus on the one negative. What is it that's inside of us that always tends to embrace the negative? And how do we get real with that?
How do we get real with that? I think one reason we do connect to it is because we're trying to find that confirmation bias. Like I was always told that, let's just say, I was always told that I suck. These, you know, 99 people that just disagreed with me, I don't know, this one person has to be the right one. And so a little bit of confirmation bias. And I also think we have this, all of us, whether we're, you know, going to see a therapist or not, all of us have this kind of built-in, unfortunately, bias to be a little bit on the negative side. I think, and the way I was taught about this is just because of survival. You know, back when we were all cavemen, it was more advantageous for our survival to remember that down path A was the saber-toothed tiger and the snakes and scorpions. If we went down path B and it was all butterflies and sunflowers, that would be nice. But it would still be more important to remember about the scorpions and the tigers to our survival. And so I think because of that, that survival tendency, yes, we do, all of us, have this like little bit of a lean. And then that becomes on us to stay conscious and to look and seek out truth, to try to counteract some of these natural tendencies that we all have. Some of us who might have some more serious depression might have a bigger lean, but yes, all of us do have this survivalistic pull to, I don't know about that hot air balloon. That just seems a little too dangerous with the fantasies or the facts with statistics. But yeah, between the confirmation bias and a little bit of that lean. And I go into my book about the lean in and the what I call these psychological weapons of mass destruction with the mental filtering, which in our world, a lot of professionals would just kind of categorize it as these cognitive distortions. With the mental filtering, yes, we filter out 99 people that said we were great, but we hold on to that one person that was like, oh, well, you know, your PowerPoint presentation didn't do something. And we're like, oh, I knew I was a failure. My mom was right that I knew I shouldn't have gone into this field. And boom, we're pulled back in to that dark place that's not based on a lot of facts, though.
You know, your book from get-go, at least the way I took it both times I read it, immediately jumps in with saying the power and the importance of our words are life-changing. And can you expound on that a little bit and why is the power of those words, how they can be so positive and negative in our world and the impact of that?
Oh, yeah, I would love to. So, you know, Proverbs 18:21, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And yes, that's a Bible quote, but there's also decades of research, particularly in with like sports counseling, actually, about how if we can visualize it, if we can say the goal, if we can see it, if we can stay positive, that's going to help the outcome. And from a trauma perspective, I do a lot of work with trauma. We talk a lot about regarding words, we have to rewrite our narrative at some point. Even if our programming when we were younger from an abusive childhood or an abusive spouse, you know, whatever stage of life we're in, if we've been programmed to believe these lies that keep us down, rewriting the narrative with new words, with new phrases to counteract some of that negativity, to take those walls down, even if it's brick by brick, but rewriting it with new words to hold on to and to kind of let go of that bad story that we've known for a long time. So the words and the wording and phrasing is so important. I go to my kids now. I feel like I'm such like this like word police with my clients. We're like, oh, I did this stupid thing. I'm like, hey now, like I'm sure a lot of people have called you stupid in your past, or it might have felt like the wrong thing, but let's find a kinder way to say that. How can we, you know, can you think of a nice word? Or if you can't think of a nice word, let's just keep it neutral. You know, I did this thing. Hey, that's better than I did this stupid thing. And just little by little.
We're going to get in on we're going to take our first break, but on the other side of this break, we're going to get in the title of the book, Get Real. How that acronym and what each of those letters mean, because I think that's wonderful. But before we go to the break, what in your dedication, is that Polish?
It is.
Right, it is? Okay, I read that. It's like, I think that's Polish. It means I love you, right?
Yes.
Dedication.
I'm very impressed. Yes. My husband and his family immigrated from Poland in the 80s. And so my family has been such an amazing support. Hi, mom. Hi, dad. I know you're probably watching. They've been so helpful. My husband has been such a help throughout all of this. And he, you know, even helped me set up this Zoom conference because technology is not my forte. And so his name is Richard. And so, yeah, it means like, I love you. I love you, Richie, in Polish. So good catch. I'm very impressed.
I just saw that. I thought, I think that is. I want to make sure I ask her that. On the other side of our first commercial break, we're going to find out what Get Real really means. You'll want to get out a piece of paper and an ink pen, and you're going to want to just write down G-E-T-R-E, and we're going to go all the way down to the Get Real and find out what the truth of what Dr. C.F. Martin from Arizona is going to reveal to us and some wisdom that can literally change your mindset. And we would love to get you involved in the conversation, and she's agreed to take calls and comments at 888-627-6008. And don't leave us. We'll be right back after our first commercial break.
This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope, It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio.
The second segment of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. It's great to have you on the last edition of this for the year 2020. And you know, I really think that our guest tonight is a perfect guest to end the program and then to go into or end the year and to go into a new year with a new mindset. Because I think so many people are telling us out in the world, and Dr. Jump In, of, hey, this was the worst year, and look out, next year's going to be even worse. And so what do we have to look forward to? Why get out of bed? Why go to work? It's just like, okay, it's all over. And I think positivity, I tend to think that our country will be stronger. Our country will be more united. Our country is going to be wiser. Our flu epidemics aren't going to be half as bad as what they used to be because we know how to take care of germs now. We know how to have social distancing. To be honest with you, I didn't like people in the back of me within 2 or 3 feet of me anytime years ago, let alone just this year. So I kind of like the social distancing. Stay away from me. You know, stay in your own space. So I tend to want to find, and it's hard, but as we go into 2021, try to find something positive. Yes, it may have been a bad year. You may have lost people that you love, but there is hope going into a new year. And I think this book, is a read that everybody ought to get on right now. And let's take it to Amazon number one and type in Get Real Dr. C.F. Martin and download it right on Kindle. You can just put it right there, or you can get the hard copy if you want, the pretty blue that she picked up a while ago, and they'll ship it to you. But this is a book that you're going to want to read and then use. How to take care of these massive, powerful weapons of destruction. How do you delete them out of your life? So let's get into that. I'm going to get out the drill and really drill deep on Get Real, Dr. Martin. How can we get real in our own life going into a new year?
Oh, yes. Well, starting to get real is going to have to be a very conscious effort every day. Sometimes therapists have also called these ants, automatic negative thoughts. I call them just personal propaganda, these thoughts that just pop up and they're designed to make you feel terrible. And, you know, in the spirit of Get Real, I talk a lot about catastrophizing in my book. Earlier in the year 2020, when everybody was saying it's like the worst year ever, I actually did just a little bit of a YouTube search, and it was scientists actually have said that the worst year ever was actually something like 562. And they just like go into like there was like volcanic eruptions and earthquakes, and there was like disease going along. I'm like, see, guys, it could be worse. But for the modern era, yes, we have been doing a lot of catastrophizing. And with a Get Real, if you want to go into it, we can just go ahead. I've been using Get Real all along in the book, and actually, the acronym came way later. I really like working with acronyms with my patients. My patients tend to like them as well. And I paused and I was like, how can I change just the title into a useful acronym? And it just happened just very organically. And I really kind of love it. And I talked to my patients about it, and they think it's a really helpful tool to process through so that they can climb out of any catastrophizing hole that they dug for themselves whenever they got a piece of bad news, which a lot of people have been getting a lot of bad news, unfortunately, this year.
When people go into stress modes, panic modes, anxiety, depression. Does it, you tell me, because you're the pro on this, does it just happen like you're walking down the street and you fall in a hole? Or does it, is it a gradual negative thought and it starts de-escalating towards a destination that once it starts going down that hill, sometimes it's hard to get the momentum to stop. And then before long, we're already there. Like, how did I get here?
Yeah, you know, outside of any sort of compulsive or impulsive tendencies that we might have, I see it more of like this spiral. It's not just this, like, you know, falling into a hole. It's the, you know, I got yelled at by my boss, and then I, you know, I sent a mean email to my partner, and now they're mad at me, and now no one's eating with me at dinner, and now I'm feeling all alone. Nobody likes me. See, my mom was right. Nobody likes me. And it's just kind of this downward spiral that happens. Yeah. And I think that's partially because we have this thing, this kind of construct, it's called the cognitive triangle. Yeah. And I kind of see this triangle, if we could make it like three-dimensional. Imagine kind of like a three-dimensional staircase. You know, you can go up, or you can go down. And each side of this triangle that kind of has three points, after an event happens, it's automatically going to trigger thoughts, or it's going to trigger a feeling, or it can trigger an action. You know, depending on our personalities and histories, maybe the boss yells at us and it makes us feel bad. Or maybe the boss yells at us and some people say, I need to quit this job. So a thought. Or maybe somebody, the boss yells at them and they go drink alcohol after work. It can all depends, but then that can also, that can start the spiral. I need to quit my job can turn into 4 hours of searching on Indeed and not doing our responsibilities. Or it can create a feeling of hopelessness. And then we go do some maybe unhealthy behaviors because of that feeling. And then that starts the thought of, you know, I really do just need to quit this job and I'm so unhappy at my job, and then the spiral. And so it really is this kind of spiraling effect that kind of happens. One nice thing about, if you can imagine the three-dimensional triangle though, is that it can go up. We have to stay conscious with every one of those thoughts and feelings and be in control of our behaviors so that we don't spiral out of control downwards. My grandfather used to say, we are both the beast and its rider. And so, and it's kind of this great phrase to remind us all that, you know what, we are both, you know, we have our animal instincts and, you know, we are gonna be impulsive sometimes, and that's just human nature. But it's also our responsibility to stay in control of that more animal instinct and to control it rather than, you know, sitting on a wild horse and just letting it go and take you, you know, anywhere it wants to go.
So that mindset needs to be on all the time. And if we want to get religious quickly, then we can get right back out. So to make people feel uncomfortable, we are to have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. I don't think Christ ever went into some place and went, oh, my lands, this world is going, you know, the hell. I think it was just the opposite. He always had that positive outlook. And I think if we can grab those thoughts, mm-hmm, and then get real with them with your acronym, I think it would be an awesome way to be able to trap, block, and then get rid of it.
Absolutely.
How do we do that?
All right. So let's go ahead and get with it. So let's say we get a bad thought or something negative, unwanted happens. The first letter in Get Real is G, and G stands for a gentle voice, a gentle voice. Nobody learns anything if they're being yelled at, whether it's a teacher yelling at you or a parent or yourself, or if you're ever trying to train an animal, yelling at the person or the animal never really works, does it? And so we just have to stay with that fact and let's find that gentle voice. Even if we are upset, let's go high. And let's try to find that gentle voice. So maybe that's something like, you know, okay, like let's recenter. All right, this unfortunate thing happened. I just got dumped. I just got fired. I just got laid off, whatever it is. Okay, just a gentle voice. That's it. That's all I'm asking for you for the first one.
So that's just mindfulness. That's just getting it in focus.
Just let's just get in focus.
Breathing.
Absolutely.
Here
let's
we are.
Calm down. Okay, let's take good. A deep breath and let's find the gentle voice, not the screaming voice, but just the gentle voice. And then let's go into E and T. The E and T stand for evaluate for truthfulness. So maybe the thought is, oh my God, I'm unlovable. Okay. I my partner just dumped me. I'm so unlovable. And so yeah, that'd be a horrible thing to believe. So, okay. I just told myself I'm unlovable. Let's evaluate for truthfulness. Okay. Just as if we are a detective or a scientist or just a really critical thinker. Let's evaluate that statement for truthfulness. Well, you know, we can start low. My cat loves me. You know, all of my friends at work, like, seem to really like me. My college friends seem to really love me. And, you know, my family seems to all really love me, you know, this or that. Okay. Maybe I'm not totally unlovable. Maybe that thought isn't true at all. And then we're going to go into R-E-A-L, the real.
Evaluate for truthfulness. Would that be like tomorrow? You know, we've had the holidays and haven't been to work lately. It's just like, I don't want to go to work tomorrow.
Okay.
Dad, my job just stinks. And you go, wait. That evaluate for truthfulness really is, I have one of the best jobs in the world. It's just an attitude of me looking at all the negative. And I see that happen in our office all the time. People start getting down on everybody and everything. It's like, wait, this is a great place to work. What are we talking about? Yeah. And I think every now and then we need that truthfulness mm-hmm. and that dose of that in our lives all the time. And I know I do. And those first three letters are really good. I want to make sure I'm hearing this right. So okay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, some people would just call this a gratitude exercise, but it's also more than a gratitude exercise. It really is about trying to find, is there any truth to what I just said?
Like, is this a napkin thing? Is this something to do at a restaurant and pull out a napkin and go, okay, here's the pros and cons. Here's what really happened. Here's what didn't happen, but I told myself happened.
Yeah,
to weigh it.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I found that sometimes just the get is good enough for some people. Sometimes just the get is good. And hey, I'm all about that. I like simplicity. And then if you do want to go on with the rest of it, it stands for rationally execute accurate language. Rationally execute accurate language. So let's stick with the example of my work. You know, my work sucks. I don't want to go. Because that might be a reality for a lot of folks. You know, okay. Rationally execute accurate language. Accurate language would never have absolutes. It would never have huge, big statements. It's gonna provide you an opportunity to say probably something longer, but more accurate. I think so many people sacrifice truth for brevity. My work sucks. When maybe the truth is, with using accurate language, you know what? My job does have its hard points. My boss is a stickler. He's a little bit of a micromanager. But you know what? The parking's great. My coworkers are super nice. The clients are fantastic. And they always bring donuts on Friday. I don't know. But the truth tends to be a little bit more wordy, right? I always joke. I'm like, never ask a psychologist a simple question. It's because it's never going to be that's always the case. Like, it's the truth is never like, well, not never, because that's an absolute statement. Often the case, things are a bit more lengthy and we have to say the whole thing. So rationally execute accurate language.
Now, we do this with each other, do we not? When we get into an argument with a friend or a spouse or a significant other, we immediately go for the jugular by going, you never, or you always. And it's like, wait, you mean I never do the dishes? I always throw my dirty socks in the floor, always? You know, and we always have a tendency to throw out those words that just have this magnitude, emotion in it, instead of taking a breath, getting the voice, let's evaluate what's true. Okay, not always, not never. Now we got a clear vision of what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that clarity can be really helpful, because if we believe that my partner always disrespects me, it's like, why are you with him? Like, always? He's never nice? Like, he's always a jerk? Like, well, gosh, like, we got to get to talking. And then as you slowly kind of pull it out, like, oh, well, you know, it's not always. I'm like, all right, well, let's accurately say what we're trying to get to, because that's when we can actually start problem solving. I can't fix a problem if you can't tell me about it. If I'm your electrician or a plumber, I can't help you unless you tell me exactly, accurately, what's wrong.
So that R with rationally, is that a mindset that we need to get to of just, hey, wait, rationally look at what the situation you're in. How much weight is in that R?
R is pretty big. I would say that the seeking for truthfulness, the evaluating for truthfulness is going to help you get to the R. Because if you just go from I'm really upset to being rational, that's hard for the brain to get to.
Yeah.
And so evaluating for truthfulness is also going to be something to like kind of diffuse you a little bit. So that you can open up your heart and your mind to get to that little bit of a space where, okay, I am upset, but it isn't always, or it isn't never. Rationally, it's often, and it upsets me, but it's not always. I'm like, okay.
Okay, and then execute.
Yes. And so here is the fun part. So we've rationally thought it through. We've searched for truthfulness and we've found what is true and we've dismissed what is false and we've dismissed the lies. And now we're going to go back into our great vocabulary and we are going to say what is true. And in couples counseling, you see this a lot too. So what is going on? It's not the socks on the floor that you always put on the floor. What is the accurate language? What would you say? You know, okay, you don't always put the clothes on the floor, but I often feel like you don't care about me. You're like, okay, as a therapist, I can work with that. As a partner, I can hear that way better than you don't care about me. Shorter with a lot of simplicity versus a longer statement. That's, longer, but it's more accurate. And we can only work with the truth. We can only work with what is true. So otherwise, any sort of solution that you base on lies is just gonna fall apart.
Yeah. Before we go to the next one, we're going to take our last commercial break. I really would love to have people get involved with this, 888-627-6008. And something just came into my mind to remind me to ask you about it on the other side, because I really think this would be an excellent handout or tool. And you may have that tool already of kind of a self-guiding journal page that we could copy off and go, hey, wait, here's a situation. Here's how to work through it. Here's the mind map and how to work through that. So I want to talk about that on the other side. Hang with us. Give us a call, 888-627-26008. And we'll be right back for the last segment with Dr. C.F. Martin. Be right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams, all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
I'm getting quite a few texts about the show tonight, so thank you. You're hitting some good hearts that are interested in this information. 888-627-6008. If you have a question or a thought, you can jump right on Facebook if you like and comment. And my son Curtis will come in and tell us if anybody has a question on that. Okay, so we rationally execute. And now, when we get to that, how important is the accurate if we can't get the right information? You know, the GPS is wonderful in our car, but if it's not updated, I may end up going to a restaurant 20 miles away that has been closed 2 years ago. And it's important to have updates and accurate information. How important that is our worldview of understanding what's going on with us at the time and for it to be accurate. I mean, did it help you with your hot air balloon to have a friend go, hey, wait, doctor, you're so wrong. This cannot even possibly happen. Important is it to have accuracy?
I would say it's still pretty important. I think at this point, if I was back in Cappadocia and like that I was about to go on the hot air balloon, I would be like, okay. I still probably wouldn't be like, I really want to do something like that one day. They look amazing. In the pictures, I can only imagine. But no, accurate language is important, and it should help soothe the soul to have the comfort of, at least I find comfort in the truth. And with statistics and, you know, the general like, oh, Catherine, the floor isn't going to fall underneath you because it's made of something sturdy and solid and it's going to be all right. Having the truth provide comfort, I think, is a really critical part with the accurate language. One of the greatest American psychologists out there, Dr. Carl Rogers, once said that the exchange of truth is curative. And I really believe in that. And it also suggests then that if the exchange of truth is curative, it kind of implies that lies or falsehoods are the disease that need to be extinguished. And so we need to keep searching. If you don't have the words yet, stay curious to find the truth that is the truth. Because then we can really start to work on the issue and for it popping up and springing back up again.
Well, doctor, where do we as people find truth today?
It's very difficult, very, very difficult. And so we have to keep searching our hearts as well. Because, you know, like even things like faith, we don't have to know all the time. But what does, if it is a faith-based idea, we have to feel it. If it is something more quantitative stats or, you know, numbers, keep searching until you feel that this is the truth. You know, hopefully we're not talking about, you know, believing the world is flat or something like that. But in our heart of hearts, does this feel like the truth? Some of the things are going to be more physics related. And sometimes maybe a little bit of Occam's razor can be really helpful.
Explain that because everybody's going, what razor? What word did that come from? Yeah, explain that because that was in the book several times.
Yeah, so I actually find Get Real kind of borrows the general principle of Occam's razor. If anybody remembers it from like eighth grade, like physics class or something, Occam's razor is basically the principle that, and I'm probably going to butcher this because I'm not a physicist, but it's basically the idea that the simplest solution is probably the solution. And oftentimes as a therapist, we, and maybe with even our family members, we see their solutions or their conclusions being very far-fetched. Like, oh, well, if this happens, then this, you know, really outlandish thing might happen. And that, or like, oh, I couldn't find my cell phone charger. The dog must have eaten it. Occam's razor would suggest that maybe you just misplaced your phone charger and that the dog didn't eat it or the neighbor didn't steal it. Like those are possibilities, sure. But the more likely is that, you know, you threw a shirt over it, or you plugged it in somewhere else, or your partner borrowed it. Much more likely than somebody broke into your house and just took your phone charger and nothing else. And so Occam's razor kind of lends this idea of simplicity, which I really like in therapy, like just trying to like come together on a kind of a simple idea to kind of help with these complex problems that are in our lives.
And so yeah, that's kind of this with counseling. When I counsel couples, I always bring this out up front. But wait, we have two different opinions. There's going to be his side, her side, and then there's going to be the truth. And indicating to us right up front, you're full of baloney on this side. You are too. You have some falsehoods on both sides. You have some negative things that you think happened or that was intentional. But most of the time, we just need to get to the truth and find out it was a miscommunication of what you thought they were trying to do instead of what they've really happened. And so we're getting back down to accurateness and truth. And I think maybe part of the damage in our world right now is that there's so little truth in anything we hear, read, see.
I know.
It's terrible. You know,
it's an important quest. It really is. Trying to determine what is true. And so not even getting into like bigger things, but in our heart of hearts, was that a good relationship? Was this a good job fit for me? Am I happy? Am I good enough? Like, you're not going to find the answers to those things in any books or online. You know, am I lovable? Those types of thoughts that are really kind of like ruining our lives, you know, outside of like finding things on Google, these are going to be finding things in our hearts and maybe also looking around from like our friends, like, hey, am I unlikable? Like, and trying to get that feedback from other sources, just trying to take a look around like, oh, I think I'm, you know, I think I'm really unattractive. Like, you know, just let's take a look around. Like, what makes you so, you know, this belief or whatever it is, and trying to take in feedback and searching your soul about what you think the answer is.
Okay, so on the last part of the real, the accurate, and then the language. So do you think the importance of speaking to us with the right words is just as important of the impact of what the words can be to begin with?
Oh, absolutely. And self-talk as well.
Yes.
Self-talk, the words we use to ourselves. Again, that gentle voice. Finding that gentle voice. We all have that inner child in us that's looking for that love and acceptance. And at least we can give that to them. At least we can kind of fill that adult voice to that inner self of like, hey, you know, you are lovable and you are great. And you know what, little kid, you're going to be so proud of this person who grows up, and it's going to be great. I'm going to take you all of those places that we never went. I'm going to take you to Disneyland, and it's going to be fantastic. So finding our gentle voice with ourselves as well as with others. Because, you know, I think I saw something recently. It was like, being negative is never going to make your world more positive. And so trying to be polite and kind in our words with other people. Sometimes it's going to have to be truthful, sure. You know, especially if we're like doctors or accountants, or we have to give bad news. Bad news isn't necessarily mean news, or it's not necessarily being cruel. It's just the truth. And then with that truth, we can find solutions together as a team with whatever that truth is. But finding the words with kindness and with gentleness in our delivery, very important.
What is your ultimate goal of the book? When each person, after they're finished with it and they close it up, what's your hope that they get out of reading that?
I hope that everybody who reads Get Real can at least take away a quick idea to help curb those negative thoughts from destroying your day. I want anybody who finishes reading this book to be able to, when they are assaulted by a negative thought, to just be like, whoa, okay, let's do that quick Get Real thing and start with that gentle voice and evaluate for truthfulness and rationally execute accurate language so that they can dismiss any falsehoods that might be bringing them down.
You know, you use it, I think it's on page 2, you use the PWMD, the physiological weapons of mass destruction. Why did you go to such depth of, wow, you try to come up with the most devastating thing that could be found because of why?
Well, you know, it's kind of ironic. As somebody who tries to use, like, pretty calm, neutral language, I went with, like, a really strong idea for two reasons. One, I think the visual is great.
Yes.
We all kind of know about, like, what a WMD is. This, you know, I don't really know what one looks like. I'm not in the military. But we all know it's this really bad, destructive thing, right? I've never been in war. I don't know what one looks like. But as a therapist, I've never seen a more destructive weapon than words.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen people whose parents have never laid a finger on them, but were verbally and emotionally abusive or neglectful or abandoned them. And the type of mass destruction, spiritual destruction and psychological destruction that comes from that type of weapon of mass destruction is a serious weapon that should not be forgotten about in this idea of what a weapon is. So yes, people, your words are a weapon. And, you know, sometimes we need weapons, but use them with consciousness and always try to come with kindness first with any sort of approaching of a difficult situation. Because, yes, words are so devastating to a person. We have to be very cautious about what we say to others and to ourselves.
I think I was sexually abused every day up to almost 17. I would have way preferred to be physically and sexually abused twice as much as what I was than to go through the words that were told to me all the time. I can deal with pain. I can deal with physical pain, but the emotional pain of a word that gets inside and I can't erase it is mass destruction on me emotionally, spiritually, relationally, psychologically. I go through all the Lee family and it just literally gets in here and messes me up. And I still can't get rid. Oh, the physical stuff's gone. Yeah, he's not going to touch me again, but I keep hitting replay.
Yeah. It's because of the word.
Yeah.
And so I don't mean to be dramatic. I actually do am very sincere with that idea that words really are this psychological weapon of mass destruction. And so we really have to be cautious with the words we say to ourselves and others.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Doctor, I appreciate you being on. I want to know if somebody's listening tonight and they want to get a hold of the book, they want to find out more about you, more about your work, maybe about your first book, about the Ten Commandments. What would be the best way to get in contact with you and reach out to you if they want to do that?
Oh, thank you. Yes. Well, I have both of them here. My first book, Thou Shall Be Happy, and then Get Real. They're both available on Amazon, Amazon Kindle, as well as paperback. And if you want to get a hold of me, I am on Instagram and Twitter, and my webpage is just www.drcfmartin.com.
www.cfmartin.com is your webpage.
Yeah, and that has kind of clips of both books on there.
Okay. And you know, I was thinking, I don't know if you have, but I'm going to look out. Do you happen to have a PDF of that Get Real?
I don't, but I could certainly whip one up for you and mail it to you.
No, I'm just saying, I think that would be an awesome tool that would be a great addition to the book of saying, hey, wait, this is something you can copy out. And when you're going through the emotion and you're sitting in a chair at night and maybe some the guided journaling in there of, hey, what's the voice telling you? Take some deep breaths. Get that gentle voice back. Don't listen to all the chaos out there and narrow it in. I can just see it being a beautiful a PDF for people that need that extra dose of help, like me.
Just tear it out and copy. That's a great suggestion. So far, all of my clients have just been getting my chicken scratch writing it down. That's a much better suggestion.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a joy having you tonight. I appreciate you being here. And is there anything else that you want to share with us about the book? I think we have about another minute and a half left that you want to share with us that you hope that people get out of or that you learn through. Did you ever get up in the hot air balloon?
No, not yet. But I have the courage to do it. And so I'm just waiting for the right place to do it. And so I hope that everybody who reads this book enjoys it, has a laugh or two when they're reading it. I start every chapter with an example of the thing, the negative behavior, the unhelpful behavior. And it was hopefully you all enjoy it. And other than that, it was such a privilege being here tonight and just to be able to talk about this book. I really believe in this book and this quick acronym.
Well, I appreciate you being with us tonight, and we will, I tell you, the examples at the beginning of each chapter were powerful, and I appreciate that. That helped me narrow what was going on into where I could really think about exactly what you were talking about, especially in the Kindle version where you went and you broke it down and you put the green words in there. That was wonderful. So I thank you so much, Doctor. Everybody get a hold of this book. Get Real by Dr. C.F. Martin right on Amazon, the paperback edition or the Kindle, and I promise you it is an awesome, awesome read, and everybody needs to read it right now. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
Arizona. And thank you, my friend. Appreciate you being here. As we do every week and each week, we always will, no matter what you're dealing with right now in life, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going to deal with tomorrow, there's always hope. There's always hope. Join us right here for another edition next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time, for another edition of Alive, Breaking the Silence from Houston, Texas. God bless. Have a great week.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.